We also bring you greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. This morning we're glad to be here again in this house of God. Last week we were in Mexico and we had taken a taxi to go to services at the hospital where they usually have English services. We had asked someone what time that we should be there. They said it starts at 10 o'clock, not knowing that it starts at 9 o'clock. So we just kind of got the tail end of the service there. But then we went to visit in the hospital there, just two rooms away from where my mom died. There was another man in a hospital bed, and so we visited him. And maybe I'll say something about that a little later, too, if I don't forget. Appreciated very much the devotional by Austin. Knowing and doing the will of God, it's something that I was wanting to speak about today. The title for the message that I felt God wanted me to share was Finishing Well. Finishing Well. I'm sure that all of us that have come to the age of accountability, we know that there's a time going to come that we must die. The Bible is very clear on that. And we want to be ready to die. We have been hearing that, surely, most of our life. We need to be ready at any time to die. We don't know when it's going to come. But don't we all want to finish well? Well, my mom is laying out there, her body that she had was laying out there in the graveyard now, and I believe the testimony for her was that she finished well. And we were there when she finished. And to her dying breath, it seemed like she was so caught up in service to others that she was still saying that when she could barely talk, if there's anything you need, please let me know. I'd like to turn to John chapter 17, where we want to look at Jesus for just a little bit here, and then we'll go on with the message. He says here, in verse 4 of John 17, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus glorified his Father on the earth in the work that he was given to do, and he's saying that he finished it, and we know that Jesus finished well. And we can think a lot of people in life that had a testimony that we know that they finished well. And that should be all of our desire, to finish well. But how do we do that? How do you finish well? And I believe it was spoken to us this morning when Austin talked about knowing and doing the will of God. We know that there are times that come to us in life when things are really tough. Someone said to me some time ago that I should preach on being down but not out. And I was thinking about that when Austin talked about this castle of despair. And one thing I have discovered about the castle of despair is if I find myself there, well, I locked myself in it. I basically put myself there, or chose to go there. Because I have been a couple of times now to Mexico, And going down there and meeting those people speaks to me every time I go there. And it just helps me to have a different perspective of life. It helps me somehow to connect to a reality that it seems I just don't get when I'm living here and everything is going okay, seem like. And it was really valuable to me when my mom died to study that whole process and try to connect with that. And knowing that someday it's going to be me. I know you don't have to go to Mexico to experience the reality of life, but some of the testimonies there that come from that I've heard of the people there, it comes from people who have been made to face reality. Two young ladies are there that have cancer. And their life was going on just fine. They were looking for a long, good, married life, happy. And all of a sudden, they felt something was not right. They felt a lump. And now today, both of these ladies, just young married, are down there dealing with this cancer. This thing that has become part of their body that is wanting to kill them. And you talk with them and you talk about the first time that they noticed it. And then, you know, the reaction of going to a doctor and doing a biopsy and getting the news. And that's reality for them. But when we're here, you know, and business goes on and farming goes on and all the different things that here, church life, school life, we enjoy to do these things. And is that really reality? The reality of things really is that you may find out tomorrow that something is seriously wrong with your body. The man that we visited in his hospital bed, he's an Amish man. And I so respect that man. It seems like he believes different than what I do as far as dress and, you know, the size beard we need to have and all that. But I have a deep respect for that man. He came down there some time ago. I guess he was there when my mom was there. Pop had met him. And his name is Chris Zook. But he had gotten cancer in his back and he went down there for treatments and the cancer disappeared. They felt good about it. He went home. But then the first thing he knew, he started having headaches again and didn't know what was wrong, so went to the doctor, and here there's a tumor pressing on his brain. And so he goes back down there and now finds it in two other places in his body. And when you look at the fight that that man now is having to put up, or the reality that he's having to face, when you deal with it in one place, it looks like now you find it in three different places. It's spreading throughout your body, and you look at your life. What do I have to look forward to? In fact, when we were there at the clinic in the middle of the night, he was having some stroke symptoms. And that's where he ended up in the hospital then when we visited him and his wife. He's 46 years old, 10 years younger than I am. Well, I'm 55, actually. But, you know, God spared me from having that kind of experience. But this, for him, is reality. And I try to put myself in his shoes. You know, how would I react to that? And in another sense, if we would really realize the life after death, knowing where we go, and we're thinking of the two little boys, you know, who say they were there in paradise or whatever, and it makes you wonder, you know, if the life that we're experiencing here is, you know, it's really nothing compared to where we're wanting to go. And so that helps my perspective a little bit. But you know, this body wants to stay here, and it wants to partake in the things of this life and have it nice. This body wants to do that. But if we would really see the whole perspective the way God does, we likely would look at things far different than what we do. And it would be more of a rejoicing when the Spirit leaves this body and goes to this other place where we have been striving to do, know and do the will of God and to finish well. Like, this is just a little bit of a troublesome time on this earth till we get over there where there is no more trouble. If we finish well. The thing that I would like to impress today, more than anything, in finishing well, the way to do that is to finish well the next minute of your life. What is that? Well, right now, it's to listen carefully. And when that minute is past, and God would analyze your life and your thoughts that you had in listening to this message, would he say that you finished that minute well? Or the next hour, if God would analyze the next hour, at the end of it, would he say that you finished well? So we can look off into the distance and we want to finish well at the end of our life. The secret to finishing well at the end is to finish well everything you do now. Daniel was such a man. He was a man who was of the king's seed, or in other words, he was from Judah, and there were three men with him, and they were given the best of the king's meat to eat that. And Daniel did not want the king's meat. He wanted something that he knew was really healthy. And to me, the lesson in this is, when you look at your spiritual life, what have you been eating? It has to do with knowing and doing the will of God, and it has to do with finishing well your devotional period, your Bible reading, listening to messages, your spiritual life, your devotions that you have in the morning. Do you finish your devotions well? Or is it kind of a hurried thing that you go through because I feel I have to? Somebody might ask me today if I've had my devotions, and I don't want to say that I didn't, so I just read it real quickly and then I go on with my work. Did you finish well? And for the children, you know, you have chores to do, and I think there's a cow to milk and there's things to feed, cats and puppies or whatever y'all have, there's things to feed. Do you finish it well? Or is it sloppy and just kind of halfway? Make a half-hearted effort at those things. It all has to do with finishing well in the end. If you can't finish well every day now, if you can't finish the things that you're given to right now to do, you won't finish well later on either. It's not a thing of going through life kind of the way your flesh wants to do it, and then in the end, straightening up and finishing well. And so Daniel, he was concerned about the things that he ate. And for me, the lesson here is spiritually, what are we eating today? Do we know that it is good for our spiritual life and that the Spirit of God sees that those people are becoming fair-fleshed, like they did literally here, and their minds were sharper, and they were healthier than all the others? in the kingdom who were partaking of what the world has to offer, so to speak. So Daniel was a man that was finishing well, and it says, the Bible says, that Daniel was faithful. And if you put this a little bit in perspective, Daniel was a slave that came from Judah, who was conquered by the largest empire to the known world at that time. So Daniel could have been thinking that I'm just a small guy and I'm just a slave, I'm a prisoner. Well, what good can come out of this, or what good can come out of that? But it says that Daniel was faithful in all the things that he was given to do. He was faithful. And I believe that is exactly what God is asking us to do, is to just be faithful from day to day and finish well the things that are given to us. And Daniel was that kind of man. Every task that he was given to do, he finished it well. And this got the attention of the king, and it got him up into the top bracket. It will get you to the top bracket too with your God. Because God sees these things. Well, anyway, there were people who wanted to bring him down. He had achieved a level of being pleasing to the king that made the others jealous. And so they wanted to bring him down, so they hunted of where they could find fault. They were looking for all the things that they could find with Daniel, but it says that Daniel was so faithful with all the things he had given that they could not find any fault with him. And then they said, "We will not find anything with his character that is at fault, except we have to somehow do it concerning his God." So then they tried to plot together and figure out what can we do. And they came up with this silly idea that everybody in the kingdom needs to pray to the king. We'll make him an idol. And that will make the king feel good that everybody has to pray to him for a period of time. And why not? He's the top dog in the kingdom anyway. He is at the very top. So why don't we just for a period of time pray to him, and this is how we'll get this man. I believe they were just like these people that hunt deer. We've got some hunters here this morning, I believe, who like to go out to the woods with a gun and sneak around in the woods and try to come up on a big buck. That's what you like to do, and kill him. That's exactly how these men felt toward Daniel. They were on the hunt, and they had their guns out, and they were sitting in the bushes when they saw Daniel pray to his God against the decree that the king had signed. And they, like, maybe grinned and laughed all the way back to the king. "We have got it." And then they moved in for the kill. You know how it is when you line up on something with your scope and you move in for the kill? But you know, there's one thing that these men did not realize, and that is that God hunts too. Did you know that God hunts? God is a hunter. The Bible says that his eyes run to and fro in the earth, and he searches out the hearts of men. And he is wanting to show himself strong to those who love him, those who fear him, those who are on his side. So how would you like if you are going through the woods and you're sneaking around the brush in the woods and you've got your gun cocked and you're sneaking up on a big buck, If you would know that somebody else is sneaking up on you in the very same way, what would it do to you? These men didn't realize it, but that's what God was doing. And these men had the audacity, or whatever you want to call it, to try to get in between God and Daniel when Daniel was communicating with his God. They came up with some stupid plan to get in between there to cut that communication. And I know that those of you who know how important it is to communicate with God, if that was cut, it would be your life. So your prayer life is very important, and it was very important to Daniel. When he heard about this decree, I believe he was like, no way, not even consider. He just boldly went right to his place. And when that time of the day was come, he likely knew these people were in the bushes looking at him. He fell down there. There was nothing going to break the communication that he had with his God. And see, Daniel being so faithful in his prayer life, he was finishing well. That's what it takes to finish well in the end. But Daniel did that. He was not afraid. Just like his three friends who were not afraid of the furnace. They said, oh, king, you can put us in the furnace if you want to, but we're not afraid of that, and we're not afraid of breaking your decree. We are serving the God in heaven, who is the God of everyone. And even if your furnace burns us up, I will want you to know that you will not convince us against the God we serve. So how can you win against someone who has no fear for their own literal life because of the love and devotion that they have to this higher power that the world knows nothing about? What power does the world have? What power does the evil one have over someone whose communication with God is so important that he would gladly give his life for that? He considers his life as nothing, and he is so willing to give that to have the communication with his God. What can the devil do? What can the world do? Make all kinds of threats, and they're basically laughed at. I believe that's what Daniel did. And that's why I can imagine Daniel saying that no one is going to get between me and my God. And I can imagine God up in heaven looking down in the same way. Those men have sealed their doom. And that's what happened. Maybe not right there. He let them go on for a certain period of time. But it was soon later when those men and their wives and their children and everything was thrown into those lions. And those lions, it says, had the mastery of them and break their bones before they even got to the bottom of the den. Just tore all to pieces. Because they tried to get between Daniel and his prayer life to his God. Now, what happens to the lion that is stalking around today, trying to break the prayer life of little people? Or it could be anyone who puts the importance on prayer life and realizes that that is my lifeline, it's my communication with my God. You have that kind of a spirit that you won't let these things get in between you and your God. I want to assure you that God up in heaven sees that, and he is going to be angry with anybody who goes in there and interferes with that communication that this person is wanting to have toward their Lord and Savior. Daniel was a person who I am sure was also tempted, like as we are, but he refused to be corrupt. And I know there's, you know, you hear that quite a bit today of corruption in governments, of corruption in churches. What really is corruption? Corruption is something that is going to, you cannot finish well if we've got corruption in our lives. It works a little like this. When a government official is approached by someone and said that if you, that I will vote for you or I will give you a $50,000 check if you present a certain bill and get others to help you pass this bill or pass this law that is an advantage to this other person. And then he tries to accomplish that for this person back here. And there is a payment given to him to try to get this law passed. That's corruption in government. What is corruption in a church? It's like if a minister would have a certain person in the congregation that he is working for, and in some way the minister would gain an advantage by doing something the way one of the members would like to have it, and the rest of the church is kind of left out of it, so the minister is kind of working things around to gain an advantage. That's corruption. Corruption in a family is when a mom and dad there might be partial to a certain child. That's corruption. Because, you know, with God, everyone is the same. And it makes some serious problems in families when a dad and mom, there's a certain favoritism they might show toward a certain child and not toward another. That's corruption. And Daniel was often confronted with corruption. That's what these, the persons that he was with in government, there were a lot of those people that were corrupt. But Daniel was careful that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. That's where Daniel was always faithful in all the things that he did, and then they could not find any fault with him. And today there is so much corruption in government that comes out and it bubbles to the top, and then they try to cover it up and they won't admit it, and there's lying going on, and to the point where a lot of these politicians, you get the feeling you can't trust them. Well, why can't you trust them? It's because they're doing things that are shady looking. Not being open, but just shady looking, and things you wonder about. Well, that doesn't make quite sense. But it all has to do with finishing well. We have to keep corruption out of our lives. In Ecclesiastes in chapter 9, he talks there about a race. He says in 9 verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. That's a way to finish well. Whatsoever thy hand findest to do, whatever is asked of you to do in the church, in your family, or wherever you are, what do it with thy might. Put everything in it that you've got. Do your very best. Just what Daniel did. And he rose from being just a slave, like being looked at as worthless, climbed all the way to the top just because he was faithful in everything that he was asked to do. Just do what you're supposed to do. How many of us like that? There's something we don't like, and you know why I like chores, and we don't like to do the dishes. We don't. Just do what you're supposed to do. How simple is that? That's finishing well. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't mumble and grumble. But you know, a lot of times now anymore, directions that are just very simple aren't good enough. Things have to be somehow explained in a way that people can understand it and thereby try to get a willing spirit. But you know, if we're willing to just be obedient, trust and obey, just do the simple things the Bible says, you'll finish well. Then he says, here, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. So you might be one that can run the fastest, and you might be the strongest one to fight the battle. But is that what it takes to finish well? No, what it takes to finish well is just to be faithful in the thing that God asks you to do. Chance happeneth to them all. And it's saying here that, you know, sometimes in our minds, things might seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. But God always notices, he always knows when someone is faithful in just the place where he's called to be faithful. Going to 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, there's a few verses there that I'd like to read. First Corinthians 9 in verse 19. He says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. This is the Apostle Paul. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. The Apostle Paul was a man who was known to be a servant. And whatever he tried to do, he did it with vigor, he did it earnestly, he gave it his all. And here he's saying that when he goes to a certain people, he tries to be like them to the point, in matters of opinion of course, to the point where he can win them, because he had his mind set on winning everyone for Christ that he could. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to Christ, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Then he says in verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one winneth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. This is saying that the race that we're running is so much more important than another race that you might see somebody run. That's a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. What it's saying, it's a corruptible crown because when you're drawing your last breath, what did all your medals that you ran, the races you ran and you won, what does that mean? Nothing. It's all now about an incorruptible crown, which is the spiritual race that we're running in wanting to finish well. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? And you know, when you look at running a race, like to use school children do that sometimes, you run a race and your eyes are on the goal where you finish, where you run across that line and you have finished that race and you want to be first. So you put in everything that you've got. Is that right? What if you would miss the first step? What would happen to the finish line if you'd miss the first step? What would happen if you miss the fifth step? Which one of the steps that you take from start to the finish, which one of those steps is not very important? Did you know that the first step has as much to do with the last step? And all the steps have as much to do with getting across that finish line. The steps are basically all the same. So what I'm saying is, why not be faithful and do the very best you can in the next minute, in the next hour, in the next day? Every day, ask yourself the question, did I finish well? Because the steps are all so important when you come to the end of your life to finish well. If you have the attitude to put this off and saying, I don't have to do my best today, that attitude will go on from day to day to day, and it will affect every step that you take toward the finish line. It will affect it. In 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I bring my body under subjection, not at the last, but at the very first. From here, right from here, and going on, I bring my body under subjection, and every step counts. Every decision that I make counts. Every path, fork in the road that I take, it counts. Everything counts from here to the finish line. It's all important. In Hebrews 3:5, it says that my servant Moses was faithful in all his house. That's why Moses finished well. In 2 Timothy, read just a few more verses here in closing. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You see the importance here that God puts on a faithful man that is able to teach others also, so that the faith can move on from generation to generation. That's very important to God. So it's something that when, if you are faithful, you cannot be faithful unless you are able to pass that faithfulness on to others. And this thing of being down and out, or down but not out, you know, the apostle talks about that. We are in distresses, but we're not giving up. We're in persecutions, and he says about being in bed, but you know, he's realizing the reality of life is that there are times when we do come down, but God is looking for faithfulness. He's looking for a tenacity of holding on. Just like a Daniel, I'm not going to give up on my prayer life. I'm going to keep that communication there. I'm going to do what I know I'm supposed to do, and that I know what God is wanting me to do it, and I'm going to do it. It's that tenacity, it's that determination to not give up. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. This is talking about God in verse 13 of the same chapter. Even if we don't believe, even if we don't do our part, we have a God up in heaven that is doing his part. And even though you don't, he's still going to do his part. That's what he's saying here. If we believe not, if we don't believe that God can, God is still going to do it. He still does his work. In 2 Timothy 4:17, we're familiar with where the apostle talks about the fight that he put up. In verse 5 of 2 Timothy 4, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And when he says he has kept the faith, he's meaning that he has kept that faith all along the way. That's how you finish well, is by keeping the faith. And when we keep the faith, we practice it every minute that we go on. We practice the faith. We talk about sometimes, which faith are you? Or which faith are you? And they say there's a lot of different faiths. It's talking about, that is talking about the religion that people believe. People believe different in different religions. And they call it these faiths. Well, what do you have faith in? What is your faith? Our faith needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith needs to be in the God who we know is going to see us through to the end and help us to finish well. As he says here in Hebrews chapter 12, we see about all these people who were being persecuted and stoned and sawn asunder and had mockings and scourgings and imprisonments and tortures, all these different things. And we have all these things for our witnesses. And he says here in chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. To me, this is just a picture of a Christian's life. Even though it is saying this about Jesus Christ, this is the picture. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside the despair. Lay aside the sins. Lay aside the evil thoughts. All these different things that are getting or dragging you down for every step in running that race. Lay those things off and make yourself light for the race. Put all the weights off, the things that want to drag you down, and just take the things with you that you are needing for the race that you're running. Take those things and looking, see, when we take that first step, the whole vision is still for the end, to cross that line. That's where the vision still is. That's where the desire is. And when these children line up for that race, everyone is thinking, you know, to cross that finish line first. And when they do that, they know that every step counts. They know that if the fifth step they would stumble, that's going to affect the finish line. So you do what you can with every step you've got to make it across there to be the winner. That's what God is looking for. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.